Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome. Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Stevie B!
What's up, Bradford A?
Oh, it's another great week here on That's Awesome because we have a great guest!
We do have a great guest. I'm so happy this guy's back on the show because his energy is awesome. I was so happy to see him. I think when he came back the first day, we sat in my room and talked for like 2 hours. And yeah. It was just really awesome to have him back. So, Sean Blakemore, who plays Sean
What's
Butler,
up, my
General Hospital, is back with us. What's going on, Sean?
Man, loving and living life. And again, you mentioned in the intro, the first day we did talk in your room for like 2 hours after work.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. So
over in the last year, there hasn't been much of that because of, you know, social distancing and stuff. Like there's been less of like hanging out on set. It's nice when you can do that because there's been less of that. So yeah. But
it's been a lot less of that. It was good for me because I've been gone for quite some time. So, you know, to reconnect with a few people, it was wonderful, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, Sean, tell me about your family real quick, because I know we just kind of all came out of COVID and you got to spend a lot of time at home, which you said was just a huge blessing to be able to be home because you're married. You have two kids.
Yep. So married. We just had our anniversary for 12 years,
awesome.
Been together for 14, and thanks, man. And, our daughter, she just turned, 8 in April, and our son is just June, turned 1.5. And so, you know, I took some time off. I was very fortunate to do it with both of our children. This time I took, 13 months off and just really want to be kind of locked in. As he came into this world, especially during COVID, he's a COVID baby.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah. You know, Sean, I remember sitting at the after Emmy dinner with you and your wife, and we had both. I think our kid was 1.5 years, and yours had just been born, or it was something like that. And I remember because it was like 8 or 9 years ago. I think it was.
Yeah.
And we were both in the thick of you know, newborn toddler stuff. And I remember having that conversation with you and your lovely wife. So it's amazing how fast time goes by, eh?
Oh, it is crazy. And now she's this incredible, super brilliant kid. I was telling Steve about it. We kind of talked at length. She's wonderful. She's compassionate. She's smart. She's fun. She's funny. She's just good to converse with. And she's super tall. She's like 4'3" barefoot.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I just say, hey, beauty is fine, but make sure you use that.
Oh,
use
for
that
sure.
Brain, you know.
Yeah.
And so no, it's wonderful, man. So yeah, that time definitely flies.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, to have that time at home with a newborn, like gosh, like that time so precious, and you know, like it's strange to call it an opportunity when you're at home because of a pandemic. However, like it was for a lot of us to have that time, you know?
I think the pandemic, man, I think the pandemic revealed a lot of things and a lot of things within ourselves. And also it did give us an opportunity if you didn't do it prior to connect with your family and loved ones. And you kind of, you know, reevaluate things in life and what's important. And, you know, for many of us, you know, it may affect you financially. So it challenged you creatively to become more independent and also tap into things you never thought about or you procrastinated about. So
oh, for sure.
It was a gift and a curse to me. I was reading something about how this pandemic, it created more millionaires and entrepreneurs in any other time. And so, and for me, you know, I see a lot of that from friends and family and, you know, different people that I've seen, people that I don't know. So it, you know, it just created a great opportunity. It's really all about, it's really all about perspective and how you approach life. You know, the old saying, you know, life lemons, but you know, and so I think that was really important to really seize that moment, because I was already planning on taking that time off for my son, for our son, and it just worked out in a sense that, you know, COVID happened.
Yeah.
But greatest, greatest time.
Sure.
So many of the most important first, including walking. And
yeah, it's amazing.
Saying certain words. And, all, and, you know, I'm a very hands-on dad, so with both of our children. And, you know, for me, it was just an extension of having the opportunity that I wanted.
Yeah, it was amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, Sean, let's talk about GH a little bit, because I was looking at your IMDb and you've done so much television. It's incredible. When did you first start on GH?
Man, don't test me like
that. Okay, great. Okay, forget. Okay. All right, forget that year. How long was your first run on GH?
4 years.
Okay, so you were there 4 years. You won an Emmy in 16. Right. So, and then you decided that was it. I'm going to do my own thing. Because I know you did a lot of primetime stuff. So I know you kind of had the bug to do that too. So go ahead.
Yeah. So prior to General Hospital, you know, I was doing a lot of prime time. You know, I come from stage and from theater. And then I started, you know, working primetime. And then I met with Jill, the former General Hospital executive. And so she wanted to create this role for me and ask if I was interested. And I was like, and so when we first started, it actually was something that, you know, she wanted to create it because she didn't really know what she wanted to do with the character, but she wanted to kind of keep me around for a while, and it was just a really heavy recurring role. And I remember Steve, you asked me, would I be interested in staying? And I don't know if you recall that, but I was like, yeah, I think that'd be cool, man. You know, I usually bounce around from show to show, and you know, I said, I think it'd be kind of cool to be planted for a while and on goals. And, you know, I think you may have translated that to Jill, and Jill's like, hey, it sounds good to me. And, you know, and we did it. So, yeah, 4 years, first time. And,
that's awesome.
You know, can be back. You know, speaking of that real quick, man, this time is even more fun than the first time.
Right. Isn't it always
interesting?
Yeah.
Different perspective, right? You come in.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't want to put words in your mouth.
So you left, but you did some other stuff when you left.
Oh yeah. I wanted to kind of you mentioned that. I'm sorry, you mentioned that in your question, but I wanted to go back to doing some other things creatively. Again, I'm just so used to doing different shows and roles, and so I wanted to kind of get back into that. And I've been very fortunate, man, to do so many different types of cool jobs and working with so many other incredible talented cast members and directors and writers. But yeah, man, I've been fortunate to do a lot of other things.
So you talk about, you know, your background in theater, where did the creative acting bug hit you? Where are you from, and how did it find you, or how did you find it?
That is for the sake of this interview, because that would be such a loaded question and such a long journey. So let's just say this. First, well, I'm from St. Louis. I'm one of seven. And the bug came, honestly, just trying something. I'm really convincing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wasn't a kid who grew up wanting to be an actor. But when I was working, I had an agent, and I actually started doing modeling. And so I was doing that with runway shows, and then I started doing voiceovers, and then again, I'm from St. Louis. So my agent was like, hey, there's a movie. We think you should audition for one. Oh, really? Actor? So I had to drive 2.5 hours away from St. Louis to, and you know, just studying and what I feel studying was.
Isn't that funny, dude?
you know? And
you
so
look, you I look just, back, you're like, no idea what I'm doing, but hey, being naive was the plus, right?
It was actually a gift, man. Seriously, yeah. Because yeah. I didn't know what I was going into. So funny. I'm gonna fast forward. So I get there, I audition, you know, I'm really prepared in a sense. Ever since I was a kid, when I read stories, I was very imaginative. So I can go along with the story. I visualize when I read. I can read very fast, but I like to take it in. So I'll take my time reading. So I really think that has a huge aspect on me this day to understand story. And so anyway, I studied, I prepared, and I auditioned. And then I said, you have a callback. I'm like, yeah, oh, cool. What's that?
Right.
So they said they want to see you again. I said, you do it again.
I got to drive back. That's a long way.
So, well, it was a couple of days later. And so I drove back and I was excited to drive back because I started to understand, okay, they want to do it again. They said, hey, they might ask you to make some changes, whatever. Well, okay, fine, no problem. So I go back, I do it again. And now I'm asking, okay, what's next? Well, we have to wait to get any feedback. So I ended up getting feedback that said, hey, man, we love Sean. There was already an offer out. But if he does not take this role, we want Sean. For me, at that point, because I've never done anything before, I took it as a huge compliment. Like, I wasn't disappointed. I was excited. Like, whoa. Do I have something? And so it's so funny because that particular role, that particular person who they offered the job to prior to me auditioning, and that's part of understanding the game, you know, every time I see him, he would always compliment me and my work as an actor. And that was Hill Harper. So that was back in the day. It's so funny.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, Hill's a cool guy. We've gotten to know each other over the years, but really cool guy. And so you're kind of like, wow, very serendipitous. You know, it's like, what, are you kidding me? And that's how I got started. And then, but, you know, I started, another movie came through St. Louis and I auditioned. So I was very familiar with it. I ended up booking it. It was a day player role. It was called Soul of the Game. And it was about the Negro Baseball League. Satchel Paige, Jackie Robinson, Josh Gibson. Those are the main three characters. And they had a lot of incredible talent connected with that project. Yeah. And I ended up getting to be a part of that. But between both movies, I was taking acting very seriously. And I started doing theater and then just honing in on my chops, man. And I never looked back.
So when did you make the move to L.A.?
98. Yeah, I've already decided. So funny, when I was working on that movie, I mentioned Soul of the Game. I remember the first AD said, hey, man, pull me to the side. He said, I don't know if you're taking this serious or not, but you got something. You know, if you come to L.A., look me up.
At that time,
he didn't know that I had already planned on moving to Los Angeles.
And you're like, knock, knock, knock. Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm here. Remember when you said
you got a job for me?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
That's amazing.
And that guy and I, we became really cool buddies, man. And, you know, he never got me a job. But, I learned a lot. And, you know, and I'm moving. It was the best decision I've ever made in my life because, you know, other than acting, you know, I met my wife and we have two beautiful children.
Yeah.
So I you came in around a time when they were still like creating characters that were the name of the actors.
He's talking about General Hospital.
Yeah. So you are S-E-A-N and they wrote it you as S-H-A-W-N.
W-N, yes.
Now, does that confuse you at any point?
It confused me.
It's better for me. Because I'm used to it.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's funny.
It's easy for me. I just don't like when they have in the scripts, I have to say 50 different names. I'm like, oh my God. You know, in the script, they have all these names. You got a name.
Is it, obviously, since you've done so much work, you're used to creating characters. And, you know, like there are some actors that, you know, play versions of themselves, and there's some actors that create characters. And I wonder, when you're playing a character that is your same name, is that weird, or does it just become compartmentalized and you think of Sean as the character? Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not part of it because it's about the character, not the name. You know,
right? Of course. But when it's your own name, I wonder. Yeah.
You know what? For me, it's actually easier, so I don't have to think about what my name is in the characters.
Right. Right.
That's amazing. That's less work.
Hey, I'm not that good of an actor. If my name was Steve, I'd be Steve. That's it. That's all I got, dude. That's all I got.
You know, I'm good. Just Sean, hey. Perfect. Thank you.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by Best Fiends. My goodness, we are so excited to talk about Best Fiends this week because this week we are on tour and somebody's always riding in the back seat playing Best Fiends.
Or on the plane. That's what I'm looking forward to is on the plane with some Best Fiends, just chilling. And it's always great to have this game because you don't need any Wi-Fi. You just play it and it's awesome. And we play all the time. So
that's right. It's our favorite match three casual mobile puzzle game. And you know what? I got an iPad, for our live events.
That's
got to
be awesome on there.
It is so Best Fiends is such a beautiful game. There's all these cute little characters and you're using your match three puzzle to get powers for the bugs to kill the slugs. And,
there you go. You got the rhyme down now.
Woo! And it's so pretty on the iPad because it's big and so colorful. And it's got the summer update. So the bugs are having fun in the sun.
I love it. And if you get, listen, I know we've been talking about this game for a long time and Best Fiends has been with us almost for the last couple of years. And it's a great game. It's free to download. And this is over 100 million downloads. If you don't have it and you're a big phone gamer or an iPad gamer, check it out. Download it. It's a lot of fun. I get obsessed with this game and you know me, I get obsessed with things and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's way more fun than any other matching puzzle games out there. And you can pick it up, you can put it down. It's one of those games that makes 30 minutes feel like 30 seconds, and it's totally free to download. Thousands of fun puzzles to solve, something new every day. I'm on level 678, but there's plenty more to go because they update it all the time.
Yeah, I love the updates. I love that we're in summer now. So even if you're just chilling at the pool, you can be playing Best Fiends. That's anywhere you go, you could be playing some Best Fiends. So check it out.
Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R.
Best Fiends.
There it is. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. You said a few things that I kind of want to dive into just a little bit. You said you liked, as an actor, which a lot of people... I don't know if they understand when actors get into acting, it's usually to play different characters and not be at the same place for such a long time. And with daytime, it's one of the only places you can be somewhere 20 years as an actor, which is absolutely incredible. What a gift it is.
Yes.
But it's interesting when, you know, because we all came up auditioning and you know, I mean, when I was auditioning, sometimes it's 3-4 auditions a day. I had my whole wardrobe in my car going from place to place. It's like, fine, you get a show, you're like, holy crap, I don't have to do this anymore. Right. You know, but it was interesting because most people would be like, awesome, I don't have to do it anymore. Yeah. But you were like, hey, I wanted to kind of get back out there because I was so used to doing other things. I wanted to go back out and do other things. And I just think that's I find it an interesting mindset because usually actors come from a fearful mindset. Am I going to work again? Do they like me? Am I good enough? And here you are, because we've talked about this, about mindset, but here you are going, hey, I'm out. That's it. I did my run. Awesome. I got my Emmy. I want to go do other stuff. I'm feeling the itch. you know. So just, I don't know, talk about that for a second, because that's really not common in our arena. So
Well, you hit it on a nail on the head. At that time when you asked me, we're on stage, we asked me, hey, what do you think about, you know, kind of making this a home, sticking around for a while? And at that time, I was ready to take a break from bouncing around and auditioning, you know, so it was really perfect timing. And then, you know, there's a process to where you kind of get used to it. And creatively, you know, I was really interested in doing other roles and, you know, working on different projects. So, you know, for me, it was a four-year break, four-year wonderful blessing to be able to establish yourself, create even a broader fan base, and just to have some, you know, that stability as an actor, you know, working, you know, you work, you take care of your responsibilities. And so that was just another opportunity to do so without having to worry about every audition, every opportunity. So, but, you know, it is a part of it. Am I a fan of auditioning? No.
No.
You know, but you know, it's almost like you have to, you know, we talk about mindset. You have to put yourself in that mindset.
Yeah.
And bear it. You know, you just have to bear it. And so in that process of me doing that, you know, I would get half straight offers, and sometimes you would have to audition because this director or producer has never worked with you and just want to see what you do, this role, and even how you guys relate, because sometimes it's about chemistry. And so if he or she is not really, you know, you guys don't really relate to one another, you can't work with somebody on another television show that you're talking about, you know, you've been around for 3 to 5 seasons on average, or, you know, you're talking about a movie, 3 or 4, 3, 6 months. You don't have to deal with this person. So, you know, it's a process to it all. Everyone has their process. And so you just have to, you know, subconsciously, you understand, you respect the process, and you have to go through it and understand that that's the only way that you can get these opportunities. And you just, again, you just grin and bear it and push through it. And, you know, creatively, I just wanted to have a voice, you know, because as Brad mentioned as well, you know, you have to do as these little nuances to create with and for a character. And so creatively, you know, necessity for me, you know, it really is. And, you know, that's why I'm at this point right now. It's not just, you know, I love acting and I will always act. But also right now I'm writing some, product to pitch to networks, and not every, you know, product that I pitch that I create personally that I need to be in it, you know.
Right.
You know, as I'm a storyteller, and so I don't like just being part of the stories, but I'm a storyteller, and so I want to be part of that process, and you know, and give other people opportunities to be creative in front of the screen. You know what I'm saying? So for me, you know, just having that mindset, this is all part of it. Can it be very exhausting? Absolutely. Man, listen.
Of course.
Auditioning is never fun. Absolutely. If I can avoid it, I will. I would. You know, so but.
It used to be more fun. Like, I find I'm still trying to figure out, you know, technically I can do self-tapes and that's fine. I just haven't figured out a way to feel truly connected as connected as I would in the room with another person. I just can't figure that out yet.
So hold on. So you prefer self-taping instead of?
I prefer being in the room. I got all the self-tape stuff figured out. Like, I create fine looking and sounding self-tapes, and the work is fine, but it's not, I haven't found a way to feel like I'm doing great work in a self-tape just yet.
Well, you know what? I get it because, you know, it's one, it's almost, if you do well, it's immediate gratification. You kind of get a sense of what's happening in the room, whether they're like, or like, that was nice, you know. So you kind of get a sense of it. And also that that adrenaline, that drive of having an audience.
Right. It's not there. And and Sean, them and them knowing you coming in, your energy, right? Your presence.
Yeah, man.
Right. Energy, you can't everything. Have that on you can't have that on video. They can't feel that. You can have a good performance, but you know, when someone comes in the room and they walk in the room and they own it, you're like, holy crap. I hope this guy can act. Because this is like the perfect combo.
Because, like you said, that energy is everything, and they feel your presence. 100%. And you know, it's tangible. People connect with tangible, and that's part of that mindset of auditioning. It's like, you know, you have to you just have to embrace it, and because you know that's part of it. But it's having that thing that's tangible for you and them.
Yeah.
You know, so you just deal with it. But yeah, man, I kind of get it. What you're saying, when you get in that room, nothing like live performance.
Oh, dude, yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Well, cause then also it's like,
nothing like it.
You know, if you know what, once you get past the necessity of doing it, if you can look at it as just like an opportunity to perform and to do work with somebody else. And like when you read with someone like our casting director, Mark Teschner, it's like a real, you're doing scene work and that's fun. Yeah. You know, when you read with a casting director that doesn't give you anything and you just feel judged the whole time, then it's a chore. But if you have a good casting director that goes there with you and you connect with them and you're like, oh, I just had an experience with that person. That's like, then it's like, oh, cool. I got to do that. That like, you know, that's work there. Like I didn't get paid to do it, but I like doing it. So that's an opportunity.
And it's about the work.
Right. And that's gone now. Like we don't get to do that anymore. And that makes me sad. It makes me sad.
Dude, listen, I got to tell you, I must suck at self tapes because I can't get shizzle when I self tape nothing. And here's, I'm going to tell you another thing too. Don't let Maurice Bernard ever direct you in a self tape.
Oh God, that sounds horrible.
This one was a slam dunk for me. It was like some military guy, some Navy SEAL. It couldn't have been written. But I go, I'm getting this thing. And I go, Maurice, will you help me put me on tape? He's like, yeah. And I, dude, who knows what performance I sent in with that guy? I have no idea.
That is so funny. But no, man, you know, it's nothing like the live energy and
totally.
And you guys get the sense and you get to play. You know, I will always tell people when they go into an audition, don't audition. I tell them
it takes a long time to figure that out, Sean.
You know what? And that's real. And I tell them to do a real scene as if you're on set. Do a real scene. So it's two things that separates people when they're auditioning. It's two main things that separates people when they're auditioning from those who will not get the job. And those who have a greater chance at getting the job, although to really do a freaking real scene, they commit 100% because they also committing, they have another element, which is the other part of this is
what? And what you went out for confident. Yeah, that's exactly right. Correct.
Let me tell you something. You will not get the job if you're not confident.
100%.
It's not going to happen. And 100%. People read that. And so you have to be confident. And it's not about what is the perfect choice. Well, that's all relative. Like beauty, you know, you have to say what's perfect for you. What do you commit to, what the decisions are? Because for so many reasons. One, you're going to commit. That's number one. And number two, they'll see that commitment. And number three, they may just want to play. It's been so many times, man, where I would get the job, but even in the room, I would come in with my rendition, what I understand it to be. They could think it's perfect. Sometimes they will say it, sometimes they won't. But they would give me a direction, maybe one or two, maybe sometimes three times, just to see if I can take that rendition.
Sure.
Sometimes that's some actors who can only do what's on page, or they can't do anything, you know, creatively. So they just want to see how you work. There'll be right. so many times. Let me tell you something. And I'm saying this, I did this film with this actor, James Gray. I'm sorry, director James Gray. And I remember I was waiting to go in. There was one guy before me, and I was just waiting. And so I sit down and do my thing, you know, and he and the casting director, and so I do it. He's like, man, that was wonderful, wonderful. So he gave me, we did the same. He just took, I did a few different scenes, and then he took one scene, and he had me do it in three different scenarios. This is just all random he was doing. Meaning, each time, gave me something to think about. He's right. like, okay, right. you just got the worst news from your wife and she's going to die and you know it, but you have to leave.
Right. Just seeing and what go. You, seeing how you can yeah. go.
Yeah. See and navigate through it. And so, you know, yeah. so I'll say all of this is being prepared is one thing, but being free to be creative in the process, but you can't do that if you're not creative. I'm right. sorry, if you're not confident.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So
sure, for sure.
Confidence is so key, man, and also living in that moment. Don't go in there with an audition mindset, man, because when you go in with an audition mindset, that mindset is, okay, this is just a warm-up, or I have another opportunity. No, you won't with someone who's coming in on fire.
Right.
And, you know, and they're coming in bringing their A-game.
Yeah.
And ready to do a real scene. You have no opportunity if they come in that room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So doing a lot of the stuff you've done, Sean, what's the coolest TV show that you've ever done? Like where you're like, I know you've done a lot, but where you're like, man, this is awesome. Like one of those moments, right? You've had a lot of aha moments where you're like, oh, maybe this is something I want to do. I want to be an actor, you know, or whatever it is. But on the set where you're like, wow, this is cool.
Man, that's
doing Star Trek must have been cool.
That was a movie.
Right,
yeah.
sure.
Well, yeah, whatever project, yeah.
Okay, Star Trek was definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And the reason, so, and I don't want to, listen. Okay, Steve, don't. I mean, but listen, seriously, they're all incredible, man, because I've been fortunate to do different types of roles. But like this, those two, that comes to mind immediately without me having to really go through the Rolodex.
Yeah, yeah.
One was Star Trek, because when I say completely different than who I am, I could not be more opposite. I'm playing an alien, yeah. speaking right. a completely different language that we literally had a coach to learn the language, because it is a book.
That is real crazy, language. Dude. That is so crazy.
Oh my God. So we had so much more that we had to learn that got edited out for the sake of the time of the film. But we literally had to have a coach to learn this language. And I was practicing, man. It was crazy. He's a kokuma. It's like that was like that. And so getting transformed from being a human into this alien that took, look, bro, it took 9.5 hours to put on the makeup.
Dude, that is the patience. Listen, that stuff is real.
And 2.5 hours to take it off.
I know, dude. It's crazy.
You know, so, you know what I'm saying? And this is
Did you get crazy overtime for those shooting days if it's 12 hours of prep?
Oh, yeah.
And force calls, dude? Like you're force called the whole time.
You know, of course, you know, so you get that. That was really cool, because I got to see this prosthetic, all this cool stuff, and you know, the outfit, the whole nine. And I even wore contacts and this cool prosthetic that moved with your face. And
oh yeah.
So you really get to go into a whole nother mindset, and then the set was, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it was it was so amazing. And then I did, and that was with J.J. Abrams, Star Trek. And then I worked on this really, really cool project. Steven Spielberg was the movie of the week. We shot it in Calgary, Canada, in the winter, freezing cold, and on the Indian Reserve. It was 10,000 high elevation, and it was so amazing. The scenery was so amazing, and so the scenery, the natural scenery, was phenomenal. Yeah. Now imagine bringing the set to life, because the set was back in the 1600s, 1700s.
That's crazy.
And so you have these, you know, the real horses. You had animal skin. You had this meat hanging, and you had these tents, and you, all of this stuff to set the scene. And I was just played this character as a he was a runaway slave who became a successful mountaineer. And
what was that called, Sean? What was that movie?
I'm sorry. That was called Into the West.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember Into the West.
Tyler Christopher did that too.
Yeah, that was a big thing. That was a big thing.
Yeah, man.
It was a miniseries. TNT miniseries or something like that?
Yeah, it was a miniseries. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
That's right. I remember that.
No, it was incredible, man, because those two incidences, I'm in another world.
Yeah, that's great about movies, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It was different than playing, you know, this military guy or this lawyer or somebody's father or whatever. But I was in another world, another space, and you're seeing things that you've never seen before, and you just see a whole other world. And so it allows you, I mean, as an actor, creatively, you just let go and be. And, you know, it's so funny, I was mentioning about confidence. And with that, the director was really he was really a special guy, really cool. And so he had a thing, and I learned it. This was his thing. And he ended up telling me, because I asked, I had to ask him, is there anything wrong? After this, so you know how the scene is written. Mm. And you do the scene, and he watches. The scene is over. And these long moments after the scene. And they say, okay, cut. Because sometimes he'll let actors go, and we would have these things. I thought I was screwing up, because I like had a couple of times added some things at the end of the scene, because it just happened. And he said, "That's what I love." He said,
"Yeah,
sometimes an actor, you know, and it's cool. They just do what's on the page. But sometimes there are moments that happen when the scene is done, but not really done.
Right.
And
right.
He allowed for that. And
that's cool."
Yeah, so it was pretty amazing, but you know, it was it was phenomenal, bro. So
that's awesome, man. I remember it's amazing. That's crazy.
It's amazing what you can do with a budget, right? But now to General Hospital.
Yeah.
So so coming back, what are the things that you were excited about? You know, coming back to General Hospital, what were you excited about? What were the things that you maybe missed having all those big budget things that you did? But what are the things about General Hospital that excited you to come back?
And where do you hope to see Sean Butler go? And that's what we'll wrap up with, Sean.
Okay, the number one thing about being excited to come back was the reconnection. General Hospital, yeah, the budget's different. Shoot extremely fast. You know, we're gathering a lot of information and you know, doing it very fast. It is the camaraderie. It is the relationship. But having that man, I'm telling you, from going from movie to television show, all these things, you don't get a chance. As soon as you build something with someone, then, hey, okay, I'll see you. And that's it. So in short, you know, the thing that I look forward to the most is reconnecting.
Awesome.
Again, with the cast and crew. What I look forward to Sean Butler, you know what I tell you, you know, I even told Frank this. For me, Sean Butler came on as an independent, strong minded character. He was intelligent. He was savvy. He had a dark side. But he was a good guy, and I just wanted to maintain that. How we go along with the story and developing Sean and his journey. And that was really important for me, like where I was telling Frank that, you know, that's where my interests lie. If I'm going to come back, I just want to make sure that we get back to that. And so far with the changes, because, you know, there's changes that he's allowed that we've collectively made together. Went back in my storyline. He was, man, I'm telling you, man, listen, he's been incredible for me to make the adjustments that I need for my character. And I've gotten to work with some people that I've never worked with before.
Right.
And you know, and for me, you know, I'm maintaining my wish list of him being, you know, his own man, his own person, and being smart and being intelligent. And oh, and listen, and they touched on it, you know, for Frank, ABC, you know, the show General Hospital to tap into the injustices and the racial and the judicial system. Really important because, you know, African American, and that, you know, we've seen from day one, and you're born seeing it. You know, and what I'm saying is, your friends and family members, you know, this, it is no sixth degree of separation. You know, it's very close to home. You know, I've been profiled so many times, you know, as a black man, and you know, I've been in so many situations. As well as family, so this is not a sixth degree of separation, but they were tapping into that, man, and really registered with some people who are watching, because I got many comments. Mm-hmm. That was really ballsy and important. Especially, it became more evident for people who are not of color to have to admit this is what it is, you know, and so. And things were, and they were pulled off with so many people do now, you know. So, them to do that, for them to do that again, Frank and ABT to decide, hey, we should really tap into the storyline. I told her, like, it meant a lot to me. I had a moment, I was reading the scene before work, and I was reading it for the first time, man. I got emotional. This is crazy. And for me to say, even in the smallest things, I had the line I had to say to Alexis in the show. And I told Frank, I said, listen, I want to make sure he was allowing me to make all these little adjustments, no matter how big or small he allowed me to do it. But there was a very small thing I wanted just to add. I didn't want someone, especially as a black man, he had a right to be angry, but I didn't want to be angry at Alexis' character for the reason she was trying to help me. But I said to her, she was saying something. I said, but you have that privilege. It's almost like we're in two different worlds. Mm. I don't have that privilege. You do. But I said, I added, but I thank you. I really mean it. I thank you. Like, meaning we're friends and you're only trying to help me. You're speaking out of naiveness. And so she responded to all this ad lib we were doing on the set, and it worked. It was, you know, we just talked about these things, and I said, you know, a black man being accused against a crime against a white woman. I said, it's not the first time. It's not going to be the last. I'm like, so we got to say these really honest things, that these are realities. It's not an opinion. These are factual things that has gone on since history. But anyway, having that experience, and man, for me, it just made me more excited to be back.
Awesome.
You know, so I, we could just keep going and just great direction, a great story. I want great storytelling. I want, you know,
sure.
I want to make sure that you and I, Steve, we have some great moments.
I know your first day back, we were together, right? In the jail cell.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was great. I know it went quick, but it was fun because we were like, right. Man, we're right back into it. It was awesome.
It was crazy. And you and a couple other people made it that comfortable for me to kind of, like, you know, right back in the saddle. And you know, it's been incredible.
Yeah, that nature of collaboration, which I think, you know, in the recounting of that storyline you were just talking about, like that collaboration where we're, you know, as part of a team, it's the producers, it's the writers, it's your fellow actors, and you know, you feel once you've been there for a while, yeah, we all have different jobs, but we're kind of, when we're on set, we're all kind of on the same level. Like there's less separation between, between roles sometimes, do you know what I mean? Or, you know, jobs. And that's there, that is something that is pretty unique. And, yeah, it's it, we're so glad to have you back. And
awesome,
I say
dude.
We, I'm there sometimes, but yeah.
But you, but listen, you said something that was really important, man. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you're an executive, a writer, cast, or crew. We're there to do one job. We're all there to put our talents and gifts together to tell a story.
That's it. Dude.
We're all to do one job.
That's
so,
it.
So we are. We're unified.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's awesome. And it's awesome. And that's where the connection is, right? I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah. That is all
the human connection and telling the story that we want to tell. And it's amazing, dude. That's why I love being there. You know, just because like when you came back the first season we had in the jail cell, you forget, because you had time off, you forget how fast or faster it's going. It's like Sean's like the first, he's like, okay, we're back. I'm back in it now. Like it was amazing.
Back in the double dutch, right?
That's where that's when he stabbed me in the jail cell. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You come back to stab me? That's not fair, bro.
I'm all right. The scenes where you know you just got you're reminded of how fast things go, like Steve was saying, and it's over, you're like, what just happened?
I know.
Was that part of it?
Yeah, dude, you did an awesome job. We're happy to have you back, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Hey,
I so appreciate you guys.
Have a great trip with your family, dude. We'll see you when we get back to work.
Thank you, my brother. Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, dude.
Be well, buddy.
You're awesome.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guest. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!